I will be reading James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Good morning, Cedar Lou. Somebody had the idea that maybe what we could do with the sermon notes, I want to draw your attention to that, is we could kind of do it like a pretest. You know what happens when you do good on a pretest? You get to go home. You're intrigued, huh?
Whoa!
Excuse me. I got attacked. God's plan to keep us going when it seems impossible is what we're going to talk today. And it's all around endurance. I think endurance is God's plan to keep things going. Now, I want to share with you, before we jump in and talk about endurance, talking about the keys to failure. Because we're going to be talking about today that endurance is a key to success, if you will, to living the life that God wants us to live and being the people that God wants us to be. And as I thought about this, I just realized that, you know, the opposite of endurance is we just give up. We stop doing what we know that works. You know, isn't it interesting when you talk to people that are struggling or failing or just need a hand up, and you talk to them about, you know, what needs to happen in their lives, and you share advice and you point things out, what's probably one of the most common responses we get from people when we do that, whether it's the kids or a friend or family members, coworkers? What is it you so often hear? I know that. You know, think about that. Isn't that really the truth? You're sharing something and it's like, well, yeah, I know that. Oh, I know I should be doing that. I know I should. And it's just, you want to smack them upside the head and say, then why don't you? You know, and it's about endurance. It's about just keeping going and doing what you know you need to do. And we know what that is. Most of the time, we know what it is. Or we've got a pretty good idea. So just keep doing it. And as you keep doing it, success comes. I mean, I really believe it's that simple. I want to share with you this illustration. A lesser man stands before you today. I've lost 20 pounds. No. No applause. Because that kind of takes away from the point of my illustration. I've been a part of this congregation 4 years and 29 days. Not that I'm counting, but I just happen to know the date. And in those 4 years and 29 days, I've stood before you at least two other times, this being the third, having lost 20 or 25 pounds. You've seen me over the years yo-yo up and down in my weight. So take away your applause. You know, I have proven once again I know how to lose weight. What I have yet to prove to you is that I can keep it off. And it comes to endurance. I know how to take the weight off. I can sit down with you and lay it out for you and figure out, you know, how to do that. I've done it over and over again, and here it is again. But I really believe, and I'm kind of putting this on the line, and I'm asking for your prayers on this. I really believe this time is different, because as I'm approaching this and thinking about some things, I really think I'm going to have some endurance that I haven't had this time. So we'll see how that goes. Talk about putting pressure on a guy, huh? You know, but I need your prayers with that. So we're going to be talking about endurance today, and I've got to believe that One of the points I want to make, too, before we get into this, I've come to believe that when we struggle in one area, we really struggle in all areas. And I think this is part of what I've come to understand here. And when I look at Deuteronomy 6:5, it simply says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And when I read a passage like that, it just reminds me. One of the things that I get from that is that it reminds me that our service to God has to involve the whole person. The whole person. It's not just a spiritual thing. It's not just an intellectual thing, but it's an emotional thing. It's a physical thing. And I realize when I struggle in one of those areas, when I take time to assess my life, to reflect, I realize I'm struggling in these other areas too. And as I give attention to one and strengthen the other, it creates an avenue where I think God blesses me as a whole person. And I think that's part of the difference here. And so, endurance. We're going to be talking about this today. Endurance is the journey of success. And I want to show you some examples of endurance, because I want to define for you what endurance is as we go through it. And so in this bag are some things that I think represent some of the strongest elements to man. Some of the strongest pieces of things that you'll ever see. My old belts. I mean, think about what these things have endured. All right? This is the oldest belt that I have. And it's like, why don't you throw these things away? Well, this is my work belt. But look at that. Look at that. That growth through the years. You know, there's about 4 inches of change in there, okay? And I'm proud to say I'm in the last loop on this belt here, okay? But, you know, look at the struggles these belts have had. I mean, look at that. Why do you keep something like that? You know, mostly for discipline of the children, I guess, but... No, not really. I haven't beat Tabitha for hours. Here's, you know, again, you can just see those growth marks. And over the last 4 years, I've traveled up and down that belt, like I said, three or four times. So I'm hoping that that in another, whether it's a couple of weeks or a couple of months, I get to go buy some new belts because I'm on that last loop. So keep that in mind. But that's kind of that definition of endurance. Another definition of endurance that I would share with you is Kathy's endurance of me. And I've talked about this several times already. On Wednesday, we celebrate 31 years of marriage. And you know what? It's been easy for me, but it's been a lot of work for Kathy. Not even an amen from the women on that? Come on. A prayer for endurance. You know, Dave mentioned in his lesson last week about the wonderful prayers, and we looked at one of those prayers in Jeremiah, but the wonderful prayers that we have recorded for us in the Old Testament. And here's a prayer from Psalm 119 that I want to share with us that talks about endurance. "My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees, your law. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pitfalls for me, contrary to your law. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for men persecute me without cause. They almost wipe me from the earth. But I have not forsaken your precepts. Preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth." You know, a couple of things that I highlighted up here, this person, you know, he's praying for endurance. He knows he needs to hold on, but he hasn't given up those things that are important either. And I think sometimes that's the way we are. We get frustrated and we just need that help. That extra help, and that's what this prayer represents for me. You know, this person's holding on, you know, to the Word of God there. He doesn't forget God's law. He's holding on to it. He's being obedient, and he's confessing that again, if you will, to God, you know, that I love your word and it's a stronghold for me and I continue to obey it. But also right here, you know, it's just a simple prayer. God, help me. I'm struggling here. It's tough sometimes to endure. It's tough sometimes to hold on. You know, we know what we need to do, but, you know, sometimes we just need that extra help. And that's what I love about this passage, about this prayer. Acknowledging those things that are important that we have to hold on to, that we have to fight sometimes to hold on to. And sometimes we just need to stop. And we just need to ask God for some help. So getting back to defining endurance. Endurance is the ability to remain, if you will, to be everlasting, just to hold on. Endurance is the ability to tolerate. And specifically, as we look at it so often in Scriptures, it's about tolerating suffering, if you will. It's about bearing things patiently. I love this one. Endurance is gained by learning how to crash through the quitting points. Boy, I've had a lot of quitting points in my efforts here. And I don't want to say to diet, but to just try to live healthier, to make better choices about what I'm doing and about what I'm putting in my body. And, you know, sometimes you just got to crash, you know, through those quitting points. You know, I'm exercising more now and I get on my little elliptical trainer and I put 35 minutes on it. Oh, boy, I'd sure like to put 5 on it or 15, you know. But I put that on there and I have these mental points in my head. When I get to 17 minutes, you know, that halfway point, it's like, woo, you know, and I get to 25 minutes and 35 minutes. And, you know, when you feel like quitting, you just got to tell yourself no. You got to crash through those quitting points. I love that definition. I didn't know Carlene was such a scholar. She didn't know she was going to help me write this sermon today. But in class, she shared a very technical term that really defines endurance. Hunkering down. You know, she talked about, was it your grandmother? Your dad, you know, talking about, you know, sometimes we just have to hunker down. And as soon as Carlene said that, I had to look at Kathy because that's one of her words. And I've denied that it's a real word all these years until Carlene said it. It's got to be real. Not sure what the Greek is there, but I think we all understand what that means, to hunker down. And that's and really, as difficult and challenging as enduring is, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's hunkering down. It's just staying at it, doing what we know that needs to be done without quitting. And so I want us to realize that faith and hope is the backbone of endurance. And when we look at Hebrews 11, we see a strong connection. And, you know, that's the great faith chapter, by faith, by faith, by faith. And the strong connection there between faith and endurance, and I want to put this on there, accomplishment. Because that's the problem with failing to endure. We don't accomplish what it is that we need to do, or that we want to do, or in some cases that we have to do. And so as you think about your prayer and study about this week, look again at Hebrews 11 and look at that connection between faith, endurance, and accomplishment. Now, I've mentioned this book before, and I have to confess, I haven't read this book, but it illustrates the point that I come across so often. I do a lot of professional reading in my work, and it amazes me, and some of the things that I read, how often you know, some psychologist or scientist or something comes up with what they think is this wonderful new idea that's going to change the world and solve all these problems. And as I read these things, so often it dawns on me, I've heard this before. Where have I heard this before? Well, from God's Word. And once again, Deep Survival. I love that title too. Who lives? Who dies? And why? I mean, it's just a great title. I can't believe I haven't read the book yet with a title like that. But Lawrence Gonzalez, the author of this book, this is a book about survival, and he's given credit for writing this book as being one of the first ones, if not the first one, to really take a scientific approach to studying survival. And in his work to write this book, he came up with 12 rules for surviving. 12 rules for surviving. And one of the reasons that this book is so popular is because as others have read this book, they realize, well, your 12 rules really have quite a broad application. Your 12 rules can be applied to people who are overcoming crisis in their life. Your 12 rules can be applied to dealing with illness and addiction and financial crisis. And so a lot of people have kind of latched on to this, including ministers. And so you're going to get a dose of his 12 rules today. And those 12 rules also, as we're going to look at them today, say a lot to us about how to live the Christian life, how to endure, if you will, the challenges, the tribulations, the obstacles that we're all faced with in being a child of God. So as we look at these 12 rules rooted in God's Word, keep in mind there is only one point to today's lesson. This is not a 12-point sermon. I don't have enough battery for that. Thank you, know, goodness for that. But there's only one point, and it's how do we endure? But I'm going to share with you, and I want to remind you, the sermon notes that's on here. So if you fill these out, you will have for you written down those 12 rules. But these aren't like 12 steps that you have to follow in order. So what I'm hoping as we fly through these 12 rules, what I want you to do, or what I hope happens as we look at this topic of endurance, and hopefully as you see, you know what, I could use a little work here in enduring and fighting the fight that God has called us to live. I hope that in these, as we look at these 12 rules, you'll find one or two, three or four, five or six, whatever, that speak to you. There's not any magic to the order or anything like that. You don't have to do them all to be successful. So maybe you'll find a point that will speak to you and help you with living a life characterized by endurance. And a life characterized by endurance is a life that will be blessed by God. It's a life that will accomplish those things that God has called us to do. The first rule is to perceive and believe. To perceive and believe. From Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, we read, "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." You see, survivors admit the reality of their situation. They count the cost. Their fellow partakers, and I should say it this way, we are all, as God's children, fellow partakers in the tribulation of the kingdom that comes to the kingdom members. And we need to realize that we need to emulate the kind of endurance that Jesus had in his life that allowed him to allow others to suspend him on a cross between heaven and earth. A question that comes to my mind too when I think about this is, do we have a vision for our life? Do we have a vision for our life? Another way to say that is, do we have a goal for our life? You know, have we truly... How many of you are going to heaven? Well, okay. There's a vision. There's a goal. And it's important to have that. Because if we don't have that, we may be living life aimlessly. And that's a life that isn't going anywhere. And I really think this is a life and death question about perceiving and believing. The second rule that Lawrence brings up is we need to stay calm, to focus our pain and our anger. You might think of courage when you think about this. Consider the courage of Paul here recorded for us in Acts 14, beginning at verse 19. "Then some of the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and he went back into the city." What a message. Can you imagine? And remember, the purpose of stoning somebody is to do what to them? To kill them. And they thought they had accomplished their task. So they drag him out, outside the city, thinking he was dead. And he gets up, brushes himself off, walks back into the city. What a statement. Now, as you read on there, we know that he leaves the area the next day. But think about that statement. How many times have we been stoned, if you will, by the world? By the tribulations that come our way. Got to be careful how you define that word stone there. I just realized that. Think of how many times we've been attacked by the world. Better way to say that. You know, and the world beats us down. And why? They want to shut us up. They want to put a stop to this foolishness that we call Christianity. And we need to have the strength, the courage of Paul to stand back up in the face of those attacks and represent God. So again, it takes courage. Think, analyze, and plan is another step. From 1 Timothy chapter 4, From 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere. Another word for endurance here. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So think, analyze, and plan. Survivors quickly organize themselves and set up routines and institute discipline in the face of grave danger. Reason gives to direction, and emotion provides the power, if you will, to endure, to do what needs to be done. And a perfect example of this was back in about 2010, the Chileans that were trapped in the mine. You know, it was an amazing story. And part of that story is how they organized themselves when they were trapped, beneath the surface of the earth. They had things that they needed to do and work on, and then so they organized that work they needed to do. They organized the limited rations they had until more could be taken to them. And they encouraged each other, and they disciplined each other, and they did what they needed to do to stay alive because they thought about it, they analyzed it, and they put together a plan while we, up on the surface, did the same thing in the efforts to rescue them. Take correct and decisive action. Luke chapter 9 says this, 9:23. Then he said to them all, if any of you would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and daily follow me. Survivors break down large jobs into small, manageable tasks. Another way to say this is they prioritize things. They figure out what's the most important thing I need to do and then get busy doing that. Not worrying about those things that I can't manage or that I can't take care of. And so that's so often, that's just good advice about a lot of things. When you feel overwhelmed, you need to figure out what is it that I can take care of and what is it that I can't. You know, scientists and medical researchers have told us that one of the greatest stress factors in our world is worry. And what's interesting about that is when we look at the things we worry about, by far over half the things that we worry about, we can't do anything about it. So we spend a lot of time worrying about things. We can't do anything about it, causing stress and a whole lot of problems that come along with stress. And so along with that, I want to share with you, several of you might be familiar with this, but the Serenity Prayer. I think this is a great prayer to put on your heart. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can. What I think is most important here, the wisdom to know the difference between the two. Another step is to celebrate your success. And often that might mean to celebrate those things that you're suffering. Celebrate your success. I don't have this one up here on the screen, so I'll be reading it for you. From Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 32. It says, remember those days after you received the light when you stood your ground in the great contest in the face of your suffering? You know, in other words, he's saying, you know, think back to when you started this fight. You know, it's kind of like looking at my belt. It's the history of my weight problems. You know, remember back to when you used this loop. You know, when you're here and how good that made you feel. You know, and thinking about what it took to change that, to move your way. And am I saying it right? Up or down your belt? Whatever. You know, making the belt smaller. You know, that's kind of what he's talking about here. And I don't mean to take away from this. So let's just pick it up again at verse 33, Hebrews chapter 10. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. You need to endure so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what has been promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And from our scripture reading that was shared this morning, consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy when you suffer, as that text said, because you know that it develops character, that endurance, that in suffering, that persevering develops character. It helps us to grow strong when we're challenged. And we need to consider those times, those events in our life, with some excitement, to celebrate those times, because we know it helps us to be more like God has called us to be. Survivors take great joy from even their smallest successes. Be a rescuer, not a victim. From 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, we read, "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." We need to realize, one of the things that I think this passage reminds us is that what we do influences others. So how are we seen by others? Are we quitters? Or do we continue to fight when all the odds are against us? Let's make sure that our celebration isn't a pity party. Enjoy the survival journey is another step in this process. From Romans 5 and verse 3 and verses 3 and 4, we read, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us." Sometimes it's just like the chore, the task of doing my workout, as I've already mentioned. I'm really pleased when it's over, though. In fact, I kind of celebrate that. There's a great deal of satisfaction in that. And what I've come to realize is that it helps me to look forward to the next time of suffering through the process so that I can feel good about once again accomplishing that. I don't know, I think some joggers call that, I think that's kind of the definition of that runner's high. Are any joggers here? Does that kind of connect at all? No runners here, huh? All right. Well, I know we have some bicyclers, you know. See the beauty. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." And also from James chapter 5 and verse 11, "As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." We need to be looking to that spiritual reward. We need to see the beauty in the efforts that we're making by looking ahead through that eye of hope, if you will, realizing what we're, I don't want to say working towards, because that makes it sound like it's something we're earning, but something that God will reward us with when we faithfully endure. We need to realize that there's a need for endurance because of the attacks that we suffer. And we are attacked, believe it or not. Satan is working to hurt God in every way that he can. And the way that he most effectively does that is taking his children away. Along with seeing the beauty, we also need to believe that we'll succeed. From 1 Corinthians 10:13, this is one to hold on to. If you haven't highlighted this one in your Bible, you need to. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, each and every time you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I think our problem with this one is that we don't always believe that. And so we're not looking for that way out that God gives us, that He promises to give us each and every time. The survivor's will to live becomes firmly fixed, and fear of dying falls away when we believe that we will succeed. Now, also, there's a sense of surrender here in this process. From 1 Corinthians 1:9, the idea as we try to make a spiritual connection here is, indeed in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. I think what we're really talking about here is it's surrendering my ability, or really lack of ability, to be able to overcome and to have a victory in this spiritual arena. Because it's only God, through His Son Jesus Christ, that gives us that victory. Because He's won it already. And He's made it available for us. But as we continue, though, to believe that I can do it, to believe that I can make a difference, then we limit, if not completely push out, the power of God working in our lives. Resignation without surrender. Yes, we might die. In fact, we will die. We are called to die. To be a child of God, we must die. And as stated already in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, we must make that decision to die to self every day as we pick up our cross to follow Him. The 11th rule. I told you we were going to fly through these. Do whatever is necessary. 1 Corinthians 4:11 through 13 says, to this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty, and we are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. I should have looked this up. I can't remember it. Help me remember this, Kathy. Maybe somebody else knows. This was a true story, and they made a movie about a hiker. And I believe this was in Arizona. He got trapped. This kid would take off, young man, would take off and go exploring and hiking off in the desolate areas and climb into caves and rocks, up rocks and down into crevices. And he climbed down into crevices and he got trapped. What was the name of that movie? Yes, it was something about the time. This guy was trapped for 100 and some hours, whatever it was. He's about ready to die before he decides to cut his arm off with a rusty pocket knife. And if he hadn't have done that, he surely would have died where he was. Now, that might be a bit of a gross illustration, But doesn't the Scripture say something about if your hand causes you to sin, if your eye causes you to sin, it's biblical. Now, I've told you this story before. One of the times when my father visited us and he came to church with us, he heard a sermon, and that was the text that Bob Lewis had used in the sermon. My dad was a little concerned, you know, because he's hearing this and he's thinking, wow, these people are serious, you know? Yeah, we are. But we know that's not a literal application of that. But it's about doing whatever it takes to put ourselves in a situation to be successful, to endure. Never give up is the last point. From Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand at the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. If you are alive, there is always one more thing that we can do to improve, if you will. Survivors are not easily discouraged by setbacks, and we need to realize there will be setbacks. There will be failures. There will be times when we just give in. You know, one of the things that I'm eating right now, and I promise I'll never bring it to potluck, are black bean brownies. Yeah, look at your faces. I wish I had a mirror up here. They're not as bad as they sound. But you know what? Sometimes the real brownies are next to the black bean brownies. And sometimes I'll have a regular brownie. Now, sometimes that's okay, because I get to celebrate. But when the brownie I'm having is this big, then it's not okay. Yeah, there'll be setbacks. But we power through them. We don't let them get us off track for forever. We need to realize, though, too, that the odds are in our favor. They really are. We need to be reminded about this. And we go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and we are reminded, again, the odds are stacked in our favor. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And reading on there at verse 37, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get an amen? You got to believe it. You got to believe it. So here you go. One more thought. Procrastination is attitude's natural assassin. There is nothing so fatiguing as an uncompleted task. You know what I did when I came across this quote and threw it in my lesson? I finished working on my lesson and I went back in my parlor and started mudding the walls. I've been working on that for 4 months. And it's frustrating. But maybe there's something in your spiritual life that you've been working on too. Or what I should say, have been needing to work on. It's frustrating, isn't it? You know what it is. So why are you putting it off? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. So my question today, as I extend the invitation, is what are you leaving undone today? What are you needing to power through? Where are you needing to grow in your ability to endure? To be the soldier that God has called us to be. If there's something we can help you finish today, or maybe you'll just take another step, won't you come? Hold it together. We stand and sing the song of encouragement.